I always thought that 12 minutes or it's free guarantee was a good one. And then Max said, you remember one time when you had me fill in on a fifth Sunday when you were gone? He said, I just did 6 minutes or it's free. And I thought, man, that I'm not going to get caught in a bidding war with Max. There's no, and I, but I do appreciate the fact that y'all are attentive for the 12 minutes that I try to speak on the fifth Sunday. It's a hard one. We even noticed that one of the, I shouldn't mention the name, so I won't mention Peggy's brother's name, but there was somebody that was asleep when we walked in to start with, and he was going to be leading singing. So I understand what it's like on the fifth Sundays. Second Chronicles chapter 14. This is a time in Israel's history where Asa was king, and the Cushites came, and they were coming against Judah, and they were far more powerful than Judah. And Asa was really an impressive king, probably for the first 36 years of his of being king, and then the last 4 years he kind of fell off, 4 or 5 years. But it says when the Cushites came in verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 14, Asa called out to the Lord his God and said, O Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, our God, do not let man prevail against you. And then it says the Lord struck down the Cushites. One of the things I like about the Old Testament is it gives us an idea of how God will take care of us. A lot of the Old Testament is kind of like when we were kids. So you're reading about the infancy stage, perhaps, of God's people. And if you remember much about your own infancy stage, you'll remember that your parents handled you a little differently. I heard a guy talking the other day that his dad spanked, and he spanked with a belt. And I was thinking, boy, when I was growing up, we called that a whipping. And that's what our dad did. This guy was talking about him and his brothers, and he's telling why, I guess, his dad felt like he had to resort to that. They had nine boys and one girl, and the dad said, if you want to know what it's like having this many boys, I'll give you just kind of a slice of our life. And he talked about the fact that they were sitting in at breakfast one day, he and his wife, and they saw one of their sons coming down past the window with an umbrella and crashing into the ground. They had just seen Mary Poppins. And he said, you get kind of used to that with kids, but he said, just a second later, another one of his sons came down with another umbrella and smashed into the ground. And he said, it wasn't a second later that another son came down off of the roof past the window and smashed into the ground. And then he said, there was a fourth one of our sons. He jumped and he didn't even have an umbrella. So there are things that God did during the infancy stage of mankind to teach them lessons. Some of them seem maybe a little harsh, but there were also some where he took care of everything. And I think he did that, one, to show that he was serious about his punishments, but two, to show those who trusted in him that he really would take care of them. You remember when you were growing up, your mom and dad, and how they took care of you? It's just that there were things that you didn't know how you'd get out of, and they were there. Well, God is that way. When an army came up against Judah and the king said, there's no God like you, God rescued him. In chapter 15, after that had occurred, we have this situation. The Spirit of God came to Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. And he said, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. I can't think of anything that is better than having God with us. And the promise, as long as you're with him, he'll be with you. I really do think this is a serious time in history. I think you can just kind of go back through history and you can see sometimes occurrences, and you can say this was worse than it just about any other time. The Civil War had to have been an awful time in America's history. World War I, World War II, especially with the Great Depression around World War II, there were challenges there that most people didn't have to go through, that those generations went through. And it looks like we're going to be going through a time right now. Maybe not. I hope not. I don't like bad times. I like good times. But the point is, if we are with God, if we seek his will and do it, he's with us. No matter how overwhelming the odds may seem. That doesn't mean that we don't have bad times to go through. It just means that he'll take care of us. And again, this isn't what we're here for. This life really is. It's a very short time. The more I read the parable, where at the end the master concludes, "You've been faithful in a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things," or "You've been faithful in a few things, I'll put you in charge of five cities." I don't know what God has planned for us in eternity, but it looks like it's important. And it looks like that what we're here for right now is just a proving ground, a testing ground. Will you be faithful to God? And if you'll be faithful to God, he'll take care of you right now. Maybe not in the fashion that you hope for, but in the fashion you need. And then there will be heaven. Well, the neat thing about Asa in this, in verse 7, as Azariah was giving Asa the message from God, he said, "As for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." I've had a few times in life. I was raised in a really simple way. And it was by parents who said, "If you do what you're supposed to do, we'll reward you for that. You know, you can continue to live with us, have all three meals, things like that." But it was way better than that. I mean, they took good care of us. But if you didn't do what you're supposed to, not only was there no reward, but there was a punishment that was associated with that. And so when I got to school and they started doing group work, I would throw myself into it, and then I would step back at times and find out I was the only one doing the group work. I would have preferred my name been on that and not the free riders, as they call it in economics. And it kind of bothered me that others would take the reward for something they hadn't done. But there are other times in my life where I've been really glad I didn't get the punishment that I had coming due me. If y'all want an example of that that maybe you can't relate to, but maybe you know somebody who can, just think of the times you've seen somebody going a lot faster than they should have and somebody else ahead of them getting pulled over. There sometimes we don't get what we have coming to us. And so I'm not suggesting that somehow we get cheated out in life, but what I am saying is this, that if we don't give up, our work's going to be rewarded. God's watching and seeing what we're doing, and he's pleased with us when we do well. And so this made such an impression upon them that Asa and the people in verse 12, it says, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. And all who would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, were to be put to death. Well, that seems a little bit harsh, doesn't it? And yet, this is the part that I want to point out of the Old Testament. It was the young stage of mankind. And God was showing that there's a penalty for not seeking him. We still have the death penalty for not seeking him. In this instance, it was a physical death penalty that the people took upon themselves and forced themselves. But from a spiritual standpoint, if you don't seek God, you're going to be put to death for all eternity. And it's not a maybe. It's not a, well, God's grading on a curve. I'm going to rely on grace. Grace is not for the unfaithful. Grace is for those who have been unfaithful and who have repented. Grace is not a license for sin. And so when we look at this and when we read something like all who would not seek the Lord were to be put to death, I look at that and I think, well, that's kind of harsh. But again, I realize that's the deal God makes with us now. If we'll seek Him with all of our heart and soul, He's going to give us way more than we deserve. And He'll take away the penalty that we deserve. But if we don't, then we'll be apart from Him for all eternity. The reason that I like going back to the Old Testament is we all have different times in our lives that are sometimes more challenging than others. Sometimes it's an external challenge. Sometimes it's one that's just kind of personal with us. Maybe a sickness or something we're going through or whatever. But if it's external, if it's something where we're having to stand up against something that is sinful from the outside, God will help us with that. And we don't have to worry that somehow He'll make a mistake on that. And if it's something that we're struggling with personally, if we turn to Him in the right way, He'll take care of that too. And then there'll be heaven. I've heard people say something along the lines of life is hard and then you die. But when you're a Christian, life is good and then you live forever. It's a pretty good deal God's offered us when you think about it. Invitation's open. If you need to respond, why don't you do that while we stand and sing.